Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Dalid. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Joe Alaham in honor of the rabbi, the Tzkele Mitzvot Joe. Today's daf is being studied in the Elu Nishmat, Hakam Baruch, Rafael ben Miriam, and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. We are beginning on Kuf Gimal Amud Sheni, and we are two lines from the bottom. Let us just review where we're holding in this sugya. The Mishnah taught us in the name of Rabbi Yehuda that if a person writes Shem Katan Mishem Gadol, he writes a small name from a large name on Shabbat, he is going to be Hayav. The example he gave was Shem Mishimhon. Meaning, the fellow intended to write Shimon, which is the Shem Gadol, and in the end he only wrote two letters, Sheen and a Mem, but since Sheen Mem spells the word Shem, which is a name in itself, therefore he's going to be Hayab for writing two letters on Shabbat. So the Gemara had a question. Gemara's question was that the way you spell Shimon is with a regular Mem. We call it a Mem Patuah. Whereas the way you spell the word Shem would be with a Mem Sofit, or as the Gemara calls it, Mem Setuma. The reason why the Gemara calls it a Mem Setuma, because it is actually a boxed letter. It's sealed on all four sides. It is indeed Satum. It is closed. And the Gemara deduces from here that it seems that since the Mishnah says that if you wrote a Sheen and a Mem Patuah, that counts as if you wrote Shem, which means the Mem Patuah can count as a Mem Satum. So the Gemara learns a halakha to Sifre Torah. That if a person's writing a Sifre Torah, or for that matter Tefillin, or Mezuzot, and instead of writing a Mem Satum, writes a Mem Patuah, the Sifre Torah will be Kasher. To that, the Gemara brought a question from a Braita that clearly says that that is not so. That you have to write a Mem Patuah where it demands a Mem Patuah, and a Mem Satum where it demands a Mem Satum. So how could the Mishnah then say that you're going to be Hayav? So the Gemara said the Biyuda has a different Tanayic source, and that is from the Remez in the Torah for Nisuch HaMayim. We know on Sukkot, besides pouring wine on the Mizbeach, as one of the pourings, one of the Nesachim, there was also an additional pouring called Nisuch HaMayim. Now, although nowhere is that written explicitly in the Torah, that you have to pour water as well on the Mizbeach, the Biyuda ben Beterah had a remez. What was his remez? If you look in the parasha that talks about the korbanot that was brought on Sukkot, on the second day of Sukkot, the Torah writes, V'niskehem. Now the Torah should have written, if there was only one pouring, V'niska, which is singular. From the fact that it wrote V'niskehem, the Mem Sofit is extra. So let's put that Mem Sofit on the side. On the sixth day, it says the word Unsacheha. Again, the Pasuk should have said, if it was only one pouring, V'niska. The Yud of Unsacheha is extra. Let's take that Yud and also put it on the side. Now you have a Mem Sofit and a Yud extra. And on the seventh day, it says Kemishpatam, as its laws. Again, if it was only one pouring, it would have said Kemishpat. Hence the Mem of Kemishpatam is extra, leaving us with a Mem Sofit, a Yud, and a Mem Sofit, which spells Mayim. From here, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterah says, Remez Nisuch HaMayim min HaTorah. Why? Because the Torah spelled out in the extra letters on the second and the sixth and the seventh day, Mem Yud Mem. Now we know the way you spell Mayim, the first Mem is a Mem Patuah. It's a regular Mem. And here the Torah's Remez is spelling Mayim with a Mem Setumah. Right? Because the Mem of V'niskehem is a Mem Setumah. So you see the Torah spelled Mayim, Mem Setumah, Yud, Mem Setumah. So you see what? That the letters indeed are interchangeable. And now the Gemara is going to say, from the fact that you see, if you had to write a mem patuach and you wrote a mem setumah, it's good. So the reverse will also be good. Where you had to write a mem setumah, like in the case of Shem, and you wrote a mem patuach, it'll also be good, which makes sense both ways. Just like you could use a mem satum, where you should have wrote a mem patuach, like in the case of Mayim, so too it'll work the other way. Where you were supposed to write a mem setumah, like in the case of Shem, and you wrote a mem patuach, writing Shimon, it also be considered a viable letter, and you're going to be chayav. And we start the words of the Gemara, two lines from the bottom. Ube de patuach ve'asa o satum kasher. The fact that you see in the case of Mayim, where it deserved a mem patuach, but the Torah wrote it as a satum, meaning the mem of Beniskehem, which was the first letter of Mayim. If you're saying that's kasher, satum nameh, which means we'll say the same thing when it comes to a satum. Satum v'asa patuach kasher. So too, in a case where a person was supposed to write a satum, like in Shem, and he wrote it patuach, like Shimon, it'll also be good. So that the Gemara says, midameh. Is it analogous? Why not? Gemara says, patuach v'asa o satum. When you took a letter that was supposed to be patua, like a regular mem, and you wrote it in the satum way, like a mem sofit, you upgraded the letter. You gave it an elevation. Why? The Amar of Chesda, Kusrav Chesda, taught, mem v'samech shebeluchot, benes hayu omdim. Because the mem and the samech, those two letters that were written during on the Ten Commandments, which were etched onto the luchot, they actually stood by a miracle. How did they stand by a miracle? The Gemara is going to teach us that the letters were actually etched through and throughout the tablets, that you could read them from both sides. Not that you could read the word backward and forward both sides, you'd see the reverse of the word on the backside, to show you that it was actually etched through and throughout. Now there are two letters that don't lend themselves to etching throughout, and that's the letter Mem and Samech. Why? Because they are complete boxes. Now in order to see the letter, you're going to need the center piece of the letters to be suspended miraculously in midair. So the Gemara says that that indeed happened. On the Luchot, the Mem and the Samech were suspended miraculously, and that's the way they were written. And therefore, the Gemara is saying that I can understand if you were supposed to write a regular Mem, and you wrote a Mem Sofit, I can understand why that's kasher. Because you know why? You actually upgraded it. Because after all, the Mem that was used in the Luchot was actually the Mem Sofit. How do we know? Because the Gemara is telling us that the Mem in the Luchot was suspended miraculously. Now that's only by the Mem Sofit. Now the only question is, how do you know that they didn't use regular Mems also in the Luchot? Maybe they also had regular Mems. So the Gemara goes on to say, Ela satum v'asa o patuach. But if you did it the reverse way, if you wrote a Mem Sofit and instead you wrote it as a Mem patuach, garu'e kamegarach. You're lowering it, you're demoting it. How? The Amar of Yirmiyah, because we learned from Yirmiyah, Ve'etimah Refayah Bar Abba, Man Safach, the letters, Mem, Nun, Saddi, Pe, and Chaf, Sofim Amarum. Those letters were not instituted until the Tsofim. Who are the Tsofim? Literally means the seers. That's referring to the prophets. Meaning at this point of the Gemara, the Gemara is assuming that there was only one letter, one style mem at the time of the Luchot, and that was the Mem Sofit. Because the other types of mem, and for that matter, the regular mem, or the regular nun, and sadi, and pen, chaf, those five letters were not instituted until a much later period, the times of the Nevi'im. Which is an amazing havam. At the time of the Luchot, the Gemara is assuming at this point, there was only a Mem Sofit, a Nun Sofit, a Tzaddi Sofit, a Pe Sofit, a Chaf Sofit. When were the regular Man Safak letters instituted? Much later on. So what do you see? Which letter has an advantage?
The Sofit letter has an advantage. After all, that was the letter that was written in the Luchot. And now you understand the first statement of the Gemara of Rav Chisda, that the mem in the Luchot was suspended because it was the only type of mem around. It was the closed mem. There was no regular mem. That didn't come until the time of the Sofim. So now the Gemara's question is, how could you tell me if the guy intended to write Shem with a mem sofit, and he ended up writing Shin mem with a regular mem? You tell me it's kasher, and therefore it's going to be considered writing on Shabbat. What do you mean? You devoted the letter. You went from something that should have been a real letter, an authentic letter that was around in the times of the Luchot, and you ended up writing, so to speak, a new letter that wasn't instituted in the times of the Nevi'im. So the Gemara says, V'tisbeda. Does that make sense? Does it make sense to say that the Nevi'im actually instituted five letters of the alphabet? V'haketiv ele ha-mitzvot. The Pasuk writes, and I quote it in its entirety, ele ha-mitzvot asher siva Hashem et Moshe el b'nei Yisrael b'har Sinai. These are the mitzvot that God commanded Moshe at Har Sinai. And the rabbis learned from this Pasuk, she'en ha-navi rashai lechadesh davar me'ata. From there on in, from Sinai, not even a prophet is able to make up new laws or new institutions or new concepts. Everything was given at Sinai. So the Gemara is questioning, how could you tell me that the letters Man Safach were actually new letters that were devised by the prophets? What are you talking about? This is an institution that came after Sinai. Impossible. All the Torah and the Mitzvot were instituted at Sinai, including all the different style letters. So the Gemara says, Ela, you're right. Leheva Havai. The letters were there. There was always two types of letters. There was a regular mem and there was a mem sofit. Meheva Hava. Mida lo hava yad'in. Hebe emsa teva. Hebe sof teva. They didn't know where the letters belong. They didn't know which mem belongs in the middle of the letter, in the word, or which mem belongs at the end, which is everybody knew there's two styles of letters. But the usage of the letters was unknown. The Atu Sofim and the prophets came along, Takninhu, and they were the ones that said, the box mem, we're going to call that a mem sofit, you put it at the end of the word. And the regular mem, you put it in the middle of the word. Which is, they were the ones that established the placement, which means, according to this Gemara, at the time of Sinai, both letters existed. So at this point, since both letters existed, we have no problem. They both have elevation. Both the mem sofit and the regular mem have importance. Because indeed, they were both in the Luchot. It's just that what? You could place those letters anywhere you wanted. There was no special place for a mem petuha or a mem setuma until the Nevi'im came and they said, you know what? This type of mem you put in the middle of a word, and this type of mem you put at the end. Gemara says, wait, that means they're instituting something. V'akateh still, ele ha-mitzvot, she'en ha-navi rashai lechadesh davar me'ata. Still, it's an institution. Because bottom line, they are telling us where to put the letters. That's a novelty. Which means, even if you want to tell me the letters existed, but the only thing that didn't exist is placement, and it was the Nevi'im that told us where to place the letters, that's a novel idea. And we cannot accept novel ideas after Sinai. So the Gemara says, Ela, Shachum, V'chazru v'yasdum. Gemara tells us something which is truly amazing. They actually forgot where the letters belong. They knew that there's a mem and a mem sofit. And for that matter, a nun and a nun sofit, and a tzadi sofit, and a pen sofit, and a chaf sofit. That's man safach. And both of them were in the Luchot. But came a period of Jewish history where they actually forgot how to use these letters. There was a time where everybody knew, this mem goes at the end of a word, this mem goes in the middle of a word. But came a time, and it's hard to imagine how, the Acharonim actually grapple to try to create a scenario how you could forget. I mean, they must have had books, they must have had Sefarim to check themselves, but they forgot. And what did the Navi do? The Nevi'im came along and just reinstituted something that was already there. They said, you know what? We have the tradition, the mem sofit belongs at the end, and the regular mem belongs in the middle. So they weren't they were not creating a novel idea. They were actually just reinstituting something that was there from the beginning, that was forgotten and later remembered. So, conclusion: this Gemara concludes that no matter how you wrote, if you wrote a mem sofit as a regular mem, or the opposite, they would both be kasher, at least according to this opinion, in a sefer Torah tefillin u'mezuzot. Hence, on Shabbat, the fellow that intended to write Shimon and ended up writing Shem, even though he wrote a mem petucha instead of a mem setuma, it'll be kasher. Because indeed, both of them were around at Sinai, so it's not considered demoting the letter. Gufa Anyan, the subject that we mentioned above, Amar Rav Chisda, Mem the Samech Shebeluchot Benesa Yomdim, the letters Mem and Samech, which are letters that stood miraculously in the Luchot, as we explained, because the center of the letter had to be suspended in order for the letter to be legible. The Amar Rav Chisda also taught Ketav Shebeluchot, the writing of the Luchot Nekra Mibifnim VeNekra Mibachutz. You were able to read it from the face of the Luchot, mebifnim, v'nikra mebaut. You could have read it also from the outside of the Luchot. What Rav Chisda is trying to teach us, that it was chiseled through and throughout. And the Gemara gives an example, kegon nevuv buvan, which means if you have the word, let's say nevuv, which incidentally is not a word that was written in the Luchot, but it's a word that's written in the Torah. So imagine the word nevuv chiseled out. So reading it face forward, you'd read it nevuv. Reading it from the other side, it would look like it's written buvan. Or for that matter, according to some texts, they do have this parentheses. So we'd read it behar rahav. Right? The word behar, looking it forward, and backwards it would look like rahav. And the last example, the Gemara says, saru varas. Now Tosafot, in the second Tosfot in the Daf, just has a question, and he says, Tema, de amai nakat lehu, kevan de lo havi beluchot. I mean, Tosfot can't understand, if you want to prove your point, that is like, give me words that were in the Luchot themselves, Anochi, and then give it to me backwards. And why did you pick these three letters? Tosfot leaves that in abeyance. Comes the Gemara and continues, Amrile Rabbanan, the Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. The rabbis told Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Atu Dardeke Ha'idana Lebe Midresha. Dardeke is the tinokot, the young students, the young children. One day they came to the Bet Midrash, the Amru Mile, and they said over some Devre Torah, the Afilu Bime Yoshua Benun Lo Etmar. The likings that were not even said over in the times of Yoshua Benun Kevatayu like them. Which means they expounded on the wisdom of the Jewish alphabet that was not even said in the times of Yeshua. Why would they choose Yeshua? Because based on the Gemara we just learned that there was a time where the Mansafach letters were forgotten, or at least according to what we said, the placement of the Mansafach letters. So therefore in Yeshua ben Nun's time they weren't really able to expound so much because they didn't have such clarity on the letters themselves. So these young children later on in history said over Devre Torah about the Jewish alphabet that wasn't even said over at the times of Yoshua ben Nun. And what were these Hiddushim? Aleph Bet. Now they start to expand them on the first two letters of the alphabet, Aleph Bet. And what does that stand for? Aleph Bina. It's the way that she learns it very simply, Lemod Torah. The first rule of the Jewish alphabet instructs everybody, Aleph Bet, Aleph Bina. You must learn wisdom. What is that wisdom? Torah. Gimal Dalet. And then the Gemara goes on to tell us the next two letters, Gimal Dalet. And the Gemara's Doresh, Gimol Dalim. Gimal comes from the word Gimol, which means be kind, be generous, be benevolent to who? Dalet, Dalim, to the poor people. Be generous to the poor people. And the Gemara says, "My tama peshuta kare de gimal legabe dalet." If you look at the way the letter gimal is configured, its left leg leans towards the dalet. So the Gemara asks, why does the configuration of the gimal, why does its left leg lean towards the letter dalet, the letter next to it? Sheken darko shel gomel chasadim larutz achar dalim. Because the alphabet is actually giving us a very important lesson in how to give charity. That the people that are gomel chasadim, that do charity and kindness, they usually run after the poor person. Their leg is leaned towards the poor man, which is they pursue the poor man in order to do a chesed with them. Now, if you look at the letter Dalet, it only has one leg on the right side of it, but that leg is slanted towards the Gimal. It goes in towards the letter Gimal. So the Gemara wants to know, why does the leg of the Dalet face towards into the Gimal? The Gemara says, Dilimse le nafshe. The Gemara is giving an instruction to the poor man that he should make himself available to his benefactor, which means he has to be available so the rich man can do chesed with him. That would mean, for example, he pays a visit to the rich man in order that the rich man be able to do chesed, which means he also cannot be hiding. As he says, ve'lo yatrihenu le'ba'al ha'bayit larutz acharav. You shouldn't burden the ba'al ha'bayit to chase after him, even though we just learned that the ba'al ha'bayit should chase after him, but the ani should try to make his life a little easier by making himself readily available. Umay tama mehader ape de dalid migimal. Why is the face of the dalid facing back to the back of the gimal? Meaning, the opening of the dalid is going forward and its back is to the gimal. Why is that so? The Gemara says, deliten le bitzina. It's coming to teach us that when the man gives charity, you shouldn't give it, so to speak, face to face with the poor man. Therefore, because you'll embarrass him. So therefore it says, Ki eki de lo lichsaf mine. Hence, the back of the dalet faces the gimal to teach us to give it in a discreet fashion in order not to embarrass. Now the Gemara is doresh the next letters. Hevav, which spells who? Ze shemo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're familiar with this name that we say during the Hoshanot and Sukkot, like the Gemara says, Ani Vahu Hoshi'ana, which is one of the names of God. The next letters would be Zayin, He, Tet, Yud, Chaf, Lamed. And that's all teaching us the following. Bimatao Seken. God says through the alphabet, if you are charitable to the poor people, and you give charity like we taught, in the proper way. And you also fulfill the first two letters of the alphabet, meaning Aleph Bet Aleph Bina, then what's your reward? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we start. Zanotka, that's the Zion. God will sustain you and give you Parnasa. Vehen Otka, God will show you a tremendous amount of Hen, of grace, of charm. Umetiv Lecha, that would be the Tet, he'll do good to you. Venoten Lecha Yerusha, and he will bequeath you a great inheritance. The kosher lecha keter, that would be the chaf le'olam haba, and he will make for you a crown le'olam haba. That's a sort of reward for the person's kind actions, and that would be the chaf and the lamed keter le'olam haba, and the yud of course would be the yirusha that we mentioned will be bequeathed. Now the Gemara continues the next letters. Mem petucha, mem setuma. We have two types of mems. We have the open mem and we have the closed mem. To teach us, ma'amar patuach, ma'amar satum. Which means, there are two types of divrei Torah. Some divrei Torah are called ma'amar patuach, which means a divrei Torah that allows itself to be expounded upon. Like the pshat. However, yesh ma'amar satum, which that she gives an example, the Ma'aseh Merkava, which is, for example, that chapter in the book of Yechezkel that talks about the chariots of fire, which is a very esoteric chapter, for that matter, the Kabbalah and the Zohar, which in that case, better to keep it sealed, concealed, only for those who are able to understand. Hence, the alphabet, again, is giving us a clear direction in learning. Some things you're supposed to be explicit and talk, ma'amar patua, and other things, ma'amar satum, silence would be better. Nun kefufa, nun peshuta, we have the two styles of nunin. You have the nun kefufa, that's literally the bent nun, which is the regular nun, and then you got the nun peshuta, which is the sofit, which is the long, straight, erect nun. So Gemara says the nun stands for ne'eman. So it would be ne'eman kafuf, ne'eman pashut. If you have a Jew that is loyal, and is loyal, the loyal Jew is kafuf, meaning he is bent over, which literally means he acts in a humble manner, so then his reward is going to be ne'eman pashut. God will reward the loyal man, and he will stand him erect, which means he will have a solid, stable existence. La'atid lavo. Rashi says, and we quote the Rashi inside, Adam kasher, a kosher man, sarich liot kafuf, he has to be bent over, flexible, ve'anav, and humble, ve'sofo liot pashut, ve'zakuf le'olam haba. And in the end, he will be erect and tall. Now, olam haba, like the Gemara says in another place, that the world above is called olam hafuch. It's a topsy-turvy world. That those people here that were low and inconspicuous here, over there, they are on the highest level. And the Gemara continues to expound. Samech Ayin, which stands for Semoch Aniin, support the poor man. Now this is a little different than the chesed that we were talking till now. Till now we said give them charity. Simoch means to actually support them that they can sustain themselves. This is like giving them a loan to put them in business in order they could be self-supportive. Vishna harina, another version of Samech Ayin, Simanim Aseh Batorah, which is make for yourselves mnemonics in order to remember the Torah. Which means when you have many statements, like you see the Gemara does many times, when it has a host of statements and it wants the reader to remember all the consecutive statements, so it'll take, let's say, one letter of each statement or the rabbi's name that made the statement, and now you have a mnemonic, so you just remember one word, now all the statements will come back. So that's the way you're supposed to learn Torah. Simanim aseh, samech ayin. And the Gemara continues and says, Simanim aseh, but vekene ota, and through that you will acquire the Torah. Pe kefufa, pe peshuta. Now we discuss the different styles of the letter pe. So the Gemara says, pe patuah, that's referring to an open mouth, and the other is called referring to pe satum, that's referring to a closed mouth, which means this is talking about Jewish leaders. Sometimes the leader has to make a stand, like the Mishnah Pirkei Avot says, "Bimkom she'en ish, hishtadeh leiyot ish." Even if, let's say, you're not the greatest man to make the stand, but if nobody else is standing up for what's right, pepatuah, then indeed you have to open your mouth. However, as Rashi tells us, if they're greater people than you, and they're making the stand and they're protesting, then it's better for the younger leader to have the approach of pesatum. Let him close his mouth and let the job be taken care of by his elders. Tzaddi kefufa v'tzaddi peshuta. Again, the two styles of the letter tzaddi. You have the regular tzaddi and the tzaddi sofit. So the Gemara, which is a longer version, right? So the Gemara says, Tzaddik kafuf, tzaddik pashut. The tzaddi refers to the tzaddik who is humbled in this world, meaning he's bent over in this world, tzaddik pashut, he will be erect in olam haba. Now this sounds a little redundant to what we just said by the letter nun. So the Gemara says, hainu ne'eman kafuf, ne'eman pashut. That's the same that Asha you said by the two nuns. So the Gemara says, Hosif lecha katuf kefifa al kefifato. Torah is teaching you here through the alphabet that you can't be humble enough. Once a person thinks he's humble, so add some humility to your level to become even more humble. Hence, you have the same drasha, ne'eman kafuf, and then we say it again, tzaddik kafuf, which means to show you an excessive amount of humility. It should be pointed out that of all the midot that are talked about in the Harambam, when he talks about a person pursuing proper character traits, He writes there, when it comes to anava, anava alone is not enough. He says you need anava yetera. You need an extra measure of humility. And his source is from the Mishnah Pirkei Avot that says, Me'od me'od hevesh fal ruach. When the Mishnah instructs us to be humble, it doesn't just say be humble, it doesn't even say be very humble, it says be very, very humble. Hence we see another source from our Gemara, Ne'eman Kafuf and also Sadiq Kafuf. Mikan, from here the Gemara learns a lesson, Shenitna Torah Bemanod Rosh. We see her over here that the Torah must have been given, Bemanod Rosh, that she learns it literally means a shaking head, beretet, was given with trepidation, ba'anava yeterah. It seems those that want to succeed at Torah have to have that bent head in order to succeed. Kof, now we go to the next two letters, Kof Resh. Kof stands for Kadosh, which would be the holy man. Resh, when referring to the antithesis of somebody that's Kadosh, that would be the Rasha. So you have the Kadosh and the Rasha are actually neighbors in the alphabet. So the Gemara says, "My tama mehader aped kof meresh," which means if you look at the letter resh, it has its back to the letter kof. It's not facing each other. So the Gemara says, "Why is that?" Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, "En ani yachol listakel berasha." God says, "I cannot look at the Rasha." That's implying that the kof in the alphabet is referring to the ultimate Kadosh, who is God Himself. And therefore God says, I cannot look at the Rasha, hence the Resh has its back towards the kof. Umay ta'ama me'adre taged de kof ligaber Resh. Now if you look at the letter kof, they put a crown on the letter kof. That crown is called a tag. The tag is on the left side of the letter, close to the letter Resh. So the Gemara wants to know, why does the crown of the Kof, why is it close to the Resh? Especially after you just told me that God, who is the Kadosh, doesn't want everything to do with the Rasha, then why put the crown on the left side, closer to the Resh? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Chozer Bo, Ani Kosher Lo Keter Kemoti. God tells the Rasha that all is not lost. If you make teshuvah, you make repentance, I will crown you like I crown myself. Hence, that's a symbol of encouragement that God gives the Rasha, that he still has a chance to make teshuvah. Why is the leg of the kof suspended? So we know that the leg does not come to the top, it's actually hanging. Why is that so? Because if the Rasha makes teshuvah, le'ayil, God gives him an entrance where, so to speak, he can re-enter the world. When the Rasha commits sin, it's like what the Mishnah teaches us to Pirkei Avot. Motzi'in et ha'adam min ha'olam. The man, so to speak, is taken out of the world. Now when he makes teshuvah, he needs to re-enter. So the leg of the kuf is suspended and now creates a gap on the bottom of the letter in order for the Rasha to, so to speak, to go back in, to enter God's realm. After all, the kuf is kadosh. The Rasha now has to enter God's realm again. So God makes it easy for the re-entry. So the Gemara asks, V'li'un behach? What do you mean? The letter kuf has a hole already on top, which means the top of the kof the leg doesn't hit its roof. Therefore, there's already an opening for the Rasha to enter the kof. What do you need? Two entries. You have the one on the top, and yeah, you have the one on the bottom. Wasn't one entry enough? Gemara says, Misayal el Rish Lakish. This brings us a proof to Rish Lakish that said, Amar Rish Lakish. My dikti, what does it mean? It says in the Pasuk Teilim, Im laletzim hu yalitz. Which really means the letz, which means the scoffer, the person wants to be a scoffer or a cynic, who yalitz, God will give him the ability and the wherewithal to succeed at his cynicism. But those that choose a path of humility, yiten chen, God will give him a measure of hand of grace. And the Gemara learns from this pasuk, Vali tameh, if a person comes to do bad, to contaminate himself, putin lo. God, so to speak, opens the door and allows him to fail. Vali taher, but one that comes to purify himself, it's not only that God opens the door for him, but actually misayirin oto, God will help him succeed. She's the Rasha. God just allows him to succeed by opening a door, but he has to enter it. Whereas the Sadiq that wants to do good, it says, Vela'anarim yitin hen. God gives him a measure of hen. Hence, when the Rasha wants to repent, God, so to speak, makes another entrance, two entrances, in order that the Rasha will have an easy time to come back into this world, meaning to find God again. He will receive an extra dosage of si'ata d'shmaya to make his teshuvah process easier. Hence, that is symbolized by the two openings of the kuf, which is kadosh. Gemara tells us the last two letters of the alphabet. Shin, sheker. Shin stands for sheker, which is falsehood. Tav, emet. Tav, of course, stands for emet, which would be the truth. Now the Gemara says, "My tama sheker mekarban mile." Why is it that the word sheker, its letters are all close to each other? Meaning, sheker is the last letters of the alphabet. Resh, kof, resh, shin, they're all next to each other. Why is emet merachaka mila? Which means the words, the letters of emet are far from each other. Aleph is the first letter of the alphabet, mem is the middle, and tav is the last letter. Gemara says, shikra shkiyah. Because falsehood is very, very prevalent, and therefore it's close to each other, the letters. It's prevalent, it's found all the time. Kushta, but the truth, lo shkiyah. The truth is found far and beyond, and therefore it's hinted in the way it's spelled. You have an aleph, and then many letters later, a mem, and many letters later, a tav. It tells us the nature of emet. It's far and wide to find the truth, while sheker is very, very commonplace. The Gemara then asks, "Umay tama shikra achadakarekae?" Why is it that the letters that spell sheker all stand on one leg? Which means the kof obviously is a one-legged letter, and the resh also is one-legged. And if you spell the sheen according to the tradition that says it comes to a point, so it also does not have a base. So why is it then that the sheker has its letters where there's no base? The emet malban nebune. But emet are like three bricks. The aleph has two legs, the mem has a flat base, and the tav also has two legs. So the Gemara says, because kushta ka'eh, the emet has legs to stand on. However, shikra lo ka'eh, the lie, deception, has no legs to stand on, which means eventually the lie will collapse and it'll become revealed and it'll surface. Hence, it stands on very shaky ground, sheker, while emet is on very firm, stable ground. It should be pointed out that even according to the tradition that spells the sheen with a base, therefore, only two out of the three letters are on one leg. So the Mefarshim explain that there's also a significance to that. Because for a sheker to have some believable property to it, it has to be mixed with a little emet. And therefore, the sheen with its base implies to us that you need some stability to make the sheker believable. As we have proof to that by the Miragelim, when the spies came back from the land of Israel and they needed to speak disparagingly about the country, first they praised it and spoke some good things in order that when they speak the sheker, people will believe them. Hence, you need a base of the sheen so the rest will be believable. Now the Gemara goes on a different style of derash. It's the style called Atbash. Again, all these styles, obviously there was traditions that you could be Doresh this way. What is Atbash? You take the first letter of the alphabet and the last letter of the alphabet and the second to the last letter, so on and so forth. Hence, At, Aleph, Taf, Bash, Bet, Shin, etc., etc. The Gemara says, At, Bash. The Gemara says, Oti, Ta'ev. God is talking. God says, referring to the Jewish people, Me, they made abominable, which means they did not respect me. They shamed me, God says. Aleph Taf, it avelo? Shall I desire him? God is chastising the Jewish people. After what the Jewish people do for me, they disobey my laws. They treat me in abomination. It avelo? Should I yearn for him? Should I desire him? So comes the Gemara and says, Bash, be lo hashak. To me, he did not desire. Shemi yahul alav. Do you think my name should rest on him? Should I rest my holy name on the Jew? Gemara continues. Gar, gufotimeh. He made his body contaminated with sin. Arachem alav. That's the resh. Shall I have mercy on him? Dak, daltotai nahal. He closed the doors. As a matter of fact, he locked the doors, so to speak, locking God out of one's life. Karnav lo agadeya. God says, should I not cut down his horns? Which in this sense is referring to the pride of the Jew. Shall I not cut him down? Ad kan midat rishaim. Now this is the way you be doresh the atbash regarding the Rishaim, the wicked. About me, that's tzaddikim, but let's talk it in a positive way about the tzaddikim. How do we do this? The Gemara says, Atbash, im ata bosh, if you are ashamed, ashamed of what Rashi says, melachto, if you're ashamed to sin, so then what is the next derashate? Gar dak. What does gar dak mean? Gar literally means you will dwell. Lagur, gar. Dak imata oseken gur veduk. Duk is one of the names of the heavens in Shamayim. And therefore, if you're ashamed to sin, your destiny will be gar dak. You will live in the a level of heaven that is called dak. Then the Gemara continues. Hatz vaf. When you just the he and the tzaddi, you get in the atpa system, and the vav and the Peh. So the Gemara says, Hatzitza havi bencha le'af. And there's going to be a hatzitza, an interference. Hatz would be imagine the he is like a het, because we know that the two letters of the alphabet, he and het, are interchangeable. So as if it says hatz, which means there'll be an interference between you and af, between the anger of God, the wrath of God will not meet a person that is ashamed of sin. The Gemara continues. Zah has tan. Ve'en atam mizdazeya min ha-satan. And you will not be worried or tremble in front of the Satan, because the Satan will have no dominion over you, because you will be a person that does not sin. Hence, za' za' means zi'zua, to shake, hasatan. If you read it together, it would be hasatan. You will not have to shake or tremble in front of the Satan. Yam kal. Now the Gemara says, Amar sal shel Geinam lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The officer in charge of Geinam said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebono shel Olam, layam kol. All of the people of the world, including the Jews, they should end up in the ocean. What is that ocean? And she explains that ocean is referring to Geinam, which means everybody should end up in Geinam. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along and says, Ahas Bata Gif. Now we moved into a different style of learning the Jewish alphabet. In the Ahas Bata Gif Derash. Now that takes the first letter of the alphabet and the eighth letter of the alphabet. So you're taking Aleph and Het, and then you're going to the 15th letter, which would be Samech. That's 1, 8, 15. That's Ahas. Bata would be
2, the second letter of the alphabet, you go to 2, and 9, 16, etc. So, Ahaz Ba'atagi, God tells back the son of Gehinnam, Ani Has Alehem. No, the Jews are not going to go to Yam, to the Gehinnam. I am going to have mercy on them. Why? Because they have kicked away, or they have shunned Gif. What is Gif? So that she tells us, Gif is adultery, exactly. So therefore, Borei Olam says, why do I have to send them to Gehinnam? After all, they have shunned away Gif. Comes again, what on says, Dachatz, again in the same style, every 8 letters, Dakim him. Dach means they are pure. Kenim him, they are upright. Tzadikim him, they are righteous. Halak, en lecha chelek bahen. And therefore you have no share in them. Umarzan, and then the last 2 letters are Shin Taf. Right, again we're giving the Vav and the Mem, the Resh and the Zayin. Then you have the Nun, and then the Shin Taf are the last 2 letters that stand alone. Amar Ginam, Nefanav Ginam, tells Borei Olam, Ribono Shel Olam. Mari, my master, that would be, the Vav would actually be God, because God's name is alluded by the letter Vav. So Ginam tells the Vav, that's God's name, Mem, Mari, my master. Zaneni, sustain me, that's the Zayin. Mizaro Shel Shet, from the descendants of Shet. Now Shet was the 3rd son of Adam Arishon. From Shet actually came Noah, and from Noah came the entire world. And therefore Gehinnam says, I'm hungry, sustain me. I want all the descendants of Shet to end up in Gehinnam in order that I can satisfy my appetite. Amar le, so God tells the son of Gehinnam, Albam Gandas. Now the Gemara goes on a different style of Dirashot. This would be every 12th letter. 1 to 12. It's Aleph to Lamed. And then you go 3 to 13, etc. Bam Gandas, which means God says, Le'echan Olichem. That's Albam would be like Olichem. Imagine the Bet is a Chaf, because the Bet and the Chaf are also interchangeable. So the first ones would be Olichem. I will bring them to where? Gandas. What is Gandas? The Gan Hadas, which is the garden of Hadas, was Gan Eden. God says, I'm not going to send them to Gehinnam. The Jews will actually end up in Gan Eden. Why is that? Ha Vaf. Amra Gehinnam, if that goes Baruch Hu. Rebono Shel Olam. Ayef Anochi. The Gehinnam says, I'm tired, I'm weary, because since you're not sending me all these people, so I'm hungry, because of all the, I don't have enough customers, and therefore send me the Jews. So the Gemara says, Zatz Hak, Halalu Zarho Shel Yitzhak. No, sir, these come from the descendants of Yitzhak, and if I cannot send them to you. So the Gemara says in its conclusion, Tar Yash Chat. Tar literally means wait, be patient. Yeshli, yes, that would be yash, yudshin, kat. Kitot, kitot, shel ovdei kochavim, she'ani noten lecha. Don't worry, there is no lack of idolaters that can sustain and satisfy your appetite. And we turn to the Amud Bet, and we go to the Mishnah. Hakotev shtei otiyot be'aleim echad chayav. As we learned previously in the Masechet, if a person commits a melacha in one hechelem, which is one lapse of not knowing that the melacha is forbidden, meaning, let's say he knew that it was Shabbat, however he did not know that ketiva is forbidden, and in that lapse of not knowing he wrote 2 letters, and after he wrote the 2 letters he found out about it, so the Mishnah says, Hayav, he is indeed Hayav, he has to bring a korban, hatat. Katav b'diyo, if a person wrote a letter in Dior, that would be black ink. Besam, besam is another type of ink. Besikra would be a red type of ink. Bekumos ubekankantum. It's also
different types of, one would be kumos, like the gum base of the tree, and kentum. Gemara will explain that comes from copper sulfate. Okay, the Gemara is going to give its interpretation as well. Upkol davar shiur Hashem, and for that matter, anything that makes a marking, so he's going to be hayab. I mean, it doesn't only have to be ink. Any item that marks can make the hayuv. Al shne kotle zaviyot. If a person wrote two letters on the two corners of a wall, that she tells us, for example, he wrote a letter on the eastern wall in the corner, and a letter on the northern wall, which means they're next to each other, the letters can be read straight, right? Because they're at the edges of the corner. In that case also, since they're, you could read them right across, so therefore you're going to be hayav as well. Ve'al shnei luhe pinkas, or you wrote it, let's say, on the two pages of a ledger. We're talking about a ledger over here. Let's say you had two pages, right? And you wrote one letter at the edge of one page, and on the other page you wrote another letter, Aleph Bet. So therefore they are read together because they're next to each other. And that's what the Gemara Mishnah says, Vehem nehegin ze im ze. They can be read one with each other. Hayav. Same to the case we learned earlier by the case where he wrote on the eastern side of the wall and the northern side of the wall. Since they share the same corner, you could read those two letters together. Hence, it's not enough to write two letters. They have to be read together. Comes the Gemara and says, "Hakotev al besaro." If a person writes, let's say, with ink on his flesh, hayav, he is going to be hayav. Hamisaret al besaro. Misaret is if a person, let's say, scratches out, takes, let's say, a sharp instrument and scratches out, engraves, let's say, a letter on his flesh. Rabbi Eliezer mechayev chatat. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer says you're going to be hayad, that's also considered writing. Vachamim potrim. Vachamim say, no, that's not considered writing. Katab bin maskin. If a person, let's say, wrote with liquid, as she says, for example, he used the juice of berries in order to write, let's say, blackberries that are black, beme perot, or for that matter, any type of fruit, be'avag d'rachim, or he wrote with the dust from the ground. Two explanations here. Either he wrote the letter in the dust, he took his finger and made the letter in the dust itself, or he took some mud and used the mud itself to make the letter. Be'abaka sofrim. Abaka sofrim is the dust that remains on the bottom of the keset ha-sofer, which is the jar where the sofer holds his ink. So there, the inkwell. So if he has, let's say, some dust, black dust on the bottom of the inkwell, and he writes with that, so it's going to be, well, the Gemara is going to say now, the din ubchol davar she'enu mitkayem. For that matter, if he writes with anything that does not stay, which means that is not indelible, patur, because all these things, they do not have a kiyum to them. So we're learning another rule by ketiva. Not only does it have to be two letters, not only does it have to be able to read the two letters together, but it also has to be written with a type of ink that stays, that has a permanency to it. All these items that we just mentioned, for example, the berry juice or the types of avag derachim and things like that, making a word in the dirt, those things do not have kiyum, and therefore it is patur, of course, aval asur. Le'achar yado, let's say a person writes the letter in the not normal fashion. For example, let's say he holds the pen upside down, and then he turns his hand upside down and writes with his palm facing up. So that would be kil'acharya. That's not writing in a normal fashion. Obviously, he's going to be patur. Beraglo, or for that matter, he puts the pen or the quill between his toes and he writes. Befiv, where he puts the quill in his mouth and he writes. Ube marpiko. Marpiko would mean if he places the quill, let's say, at his, in between his arm, which means he closes his arm and holds the pen over there in the spot by the crease by his elbow, and he writes like that, he'll also be patur. Katav o techad samuch lichtav. Or let's say you had an existing letter, and you just came and you wrote a letter next to it. Now you have two letters there, but he only wrote one. That's again, katav ot ahat samuch lichtav. The ketav al gabe ktav, or for that matter, he traced over letters that were there already. Example, he had an aleph and a bet that were written, and he went over the aleph and he just traced over it, another aleph or another bet. Or nitkaven lichtov het. Let's say the guy intended to write the letter het, which is one letter. Vekatav bet zainin. And by mistake, he ended up writing two zayins, because this assumes that the letter het is really made up of two zayins that are connected by a roof. Now let's say he made one zayin, and then he made the other zayin, and he didn't end up putting the roof on top of it to make it a het. Ahat ba'aris ve'ahat ba'kora. For that matter, he wrote one letter on the floor and one letter on the ceiling. Ketav al bet kotle habayit. Or for that matter, on two different walls of the house, meaning on opposite walls, one on the east wall and one on the west wall, al shned da pe pinkas, or he has like a pinkas, let's say like he has a migilah. In this case, he did not write the letters next to each other. He wrote one letter in the middle of the cloth, and on the next daf, he wrote one letter in the middle of that cloth where they're not read together. So in these cases, they're not read together. In all these cases, patur is going to be patur. Comes the Gemara and says, Mishnah and says, katav ot achat nutrikun. Let's say he wrote one letter with a sign on top of it to indicate that he actually means to write a complete word. For example, he writes one letter, and then he puts it like an italic on top of it as to give the indication that really there's a complete word that he wants to follow. And therefore, you might say, since that little tick that he puts on top of the letter, that can be considered a letter in itself. So the Gemara says, we actually have a machloket on that. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Betera mechayev, v'achamim potrim. So we have a machloket tanaim regarding, person writes one letter with a little italic on top to indicate that it's only short for a larger word. And now the Gemara is going to analyze these cases that we just read. In the Mishnah, Dio, you told me that one of the inks that a person is going to be Hayav on is Dio. What is that? Diyuta. Okay, that's called an Aramaic. Diyuta, which like we said is the black ink. Sam, which is the second example, in Aramaic they call that Sama. Okay? That she tells us in the Lashon HaKodesh they would call that Zarnich, also a type of ink. Sikra, what is Sikra? Amar Abba Bar Barhana Sikrita. Okay, Sikrita, as we explained, would be the red ink that she said they used to paint the panels of the homes with this. Sikrita Shema. Its name is Sikrita. Kumos, which the Mishnah said, which we interpreted as a gum, Kuma. That's the Aramaic name. Kankantum. That's the copper oxide that we said. Amar Rabba Bar Barhana, Amar Shemuel, the Aramaic term for that is Harta de Ushkapi. That is the dye that the shoemakers use in order to polish the shoe. So Harta would be the dye, the Ushkapi would be the shoemakers. Ubcho Dabar Shuroshem. For that matter, the Mishnah says, any item that leaves a mark, you're going to be hayav for ketiba la'atuye. What is that coming to include? La'atuye hadetani Rabbi Hanina or Hananya. It's coming to include what we learned in Masechet Gittin in the name of Hananya. Ketavo b'metarya. If a person, let's say, wrote the get, the divorce paper to his wife in metarya, two different opinions. Metarya either means rainwater, or it means water that they soaked the gallnuts in. Gallnut water. Bottom line, both these leave an indelible impression. The get has to be written in something that is mikuyam. So therefore it says, if he wrote the get in metariah, the afsa,
or Afsara, she says that's me'afasim, right? According to that opinion, that would be golna juice. Kasher. Why is it kasher? Because bottom line, it leaves an impression. Hence on Shabbat, follows the same law as Gittin. If a person would write with rainwater, or a person would write with this golna juice, it is going to be considered hayav. Comes Gemara and says, Tani de bichaya, ketavo be'avar, beshachor upshihur, kasher. Regarding a get, if one wrote it be'avar, as she says that's alfarid, that would be lead, which means when he takes the lead and rubs it against the parchment, it does leave a blackness to it. Beshachor, that she says, that would be charcoal, that's a pehav. Upshihur. What is shihur? So that's back to the hartad de ushkapi that we said, that would be the shoemaker's dye. If a person wrote a get in any of these items, kasher, the get is kasher. Hence on Shabbat, one would be chayav. Hamisaret abesaro. We learned in the Mishnah that if somebody, let's say, etches out letters on his flesh, right? He takes a sharp instrument and he makes the letters on his flesh. So we had a mahloket between the Eliezer and Hakamim. Hakamim were the potrim. Tanya, we have a braita. Amar lehem Rabbi Eliezer Hakamim. Rabbi Eliezer told Hakamim, rabbis, you say patur, v'halo ben sidda hotzi keshafim mimisraim b'srita she'al b'saro. Says, we have a story of a fellow by the name of Ben Sidda. Ben Sidda was actually a magician, and he wanted to take out all the secrets of the witchcraft that belonged to the Egyptians. He wanted to smuggle it out. And obviously, whoever left Egypt, they would inspect them to make sure that they're not taking any secrets out with them. So what did Ben Sidda do? So he wrote all the secrets on his flesh, in order that he will be able to subvert any inspection when he leaves. He wanted to teach it to the men of his country. So you see what? People do write on their flesh, and therefore that should be considered the derech. And therefore, rabbis, why do you say patur? We have a documented case of Ben Sidda. Gemara says, Amru lo. The rabbi said, please, shoteaya. Says this man was a shoteh, meaning not necessarily that he was crazy, but it's abnormal what he did. Which means that she says over here, shtutayabo, la'asot ma she'en derech b'nei adam osim. This is not a normal thing to write a whole recipe on a person's arm. Jeez, he had some crazy bug in his head to do such a thing. So from him, you're not going to make the normal establishment for Chilul Shabbat in such a way. Comes the Gemara and says, Katav otehad samuch lichtav. We learned in the Mishnah, if let's say you had a letter that was written already, and somebody came on Shabbat and wrote a letter next to it, so we said Patukash only wrote one letter. Mantana, who's the author of such a statement? Amar Rava bar Avuna, delo k'Rabbi Eliezer. Was definitely not Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Did Rabbi Eliezer ha'amar achat al arik hayav, which means Rabbi Eliezer holds that if let's say you had a garment that had one string woven already. Now Shabbat to be hayav, you have to string at least, you have to weave two strings. Let's say there was one standing there, ready woven, and he came and added one next to it. According to the Rabbi Eliezer, hayav. So clearly, he's not the author of our Mishnah, because he would also say, if you have one letter, and you came and wrote one letter next to that, you'll also be hayav. So obviously, he cannot be the author of our Mishnah. Katav, so obviously it's the Hakamim. Katav al-gabe ktav. The person wrote a letter, a trace over a letter. So we said in the Mishnah, patur, meaning that's not considered writing. Gemara says, Mantana, who's the author? Amar Rav Chisda, delo k'Rabbi Yehuda. Well, it's not Rabbi Yehuda. Detanya k'shev b'raita. Hare sheya sadik lichtov et Hashem. Person that says writing a Sefer Torah, and he needs to write God's name. Yud ke, vav ke. V'nitkaven lichtov Yehuda. But, he forgot, and instead he had kavanah to write the word Yehuda. Now, Yehuda has the letters Yud ke, vav ke, but it has an extra Dalit, right? V'taha v'lo etil bo dalit.
Now the guy intending to write Yehuda forgot to write the Dalid. But worked out that now he has Hashem's name there that he needed. Only problem is he didn't have Kavanah to write Hashem's name. And when you write a Sefer Torah, you have to have Kavanah when you write the Shemot. It can't just happen by mistake. So what does the Gemara say? Ma'avir alav kulmus u'mikadesho. That's no problem. Just take your kulmus, take your quill, and trace the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei over again, over those letters, and have Kavanah now for the name of Hashem, and it's Kasher. So what do you see according to Rabbi Yehuda? That tracing is considered writing. Hakamim Omrim En Hashem En Amuvhar. They come along and said, this is not the preferable way to write it. Now what does the Hakamim mean to say? They actually hold, it's nothing. Tracing is not considered Ketivah. What did they mean when they said it's not preferable? They were telling the Biyuda, even according to you, it's not the preferable way to have a Shem that now was traced, which even according to you that hold it's a Ketivah, you'll agree to us, it's not the most preferable way. We hold, there's nothing you can do in this case. Tracing is not an option. Therefore, the author of our Mishnah must be Hakamim that say tracing is not considered a Ketivah. Tana, we have a Braita. Katav Otachat, Vishlima Lesefer. Let's say you have one of the 24 books of the Tanakh that have a designated amount of letters according to the tradition. And let's say you're at this missing one letter, and the fellow came on Shabbat, and he added that last letter of one of the Sefrei Tanakh. Or, Arag Chutachat V'shtimah LeBegid. Or let's say he weaved the last stitch in order to finish the garment. Gemara says Hayav. In that case, Hayav. Gemara says, who's the Yipun? Not Makir Patish. You're going to be Hayav Ketibah, or you're going to be Hayav Ariga. So comes the Gemara and says, Mantana, who's the author of that statement? Amarava Barabuna, the Bili Ezeri. That must be the Bili Ezeri. We just mentioned his opinion before. The Amar Ahatala Arik Hayav. That said, if you have one stitch there and you add another stitch, so you're Hayav. So here too, since you only did one stitch, you could see you could be Hayav. Gemara says, Ravashem Anafilu Temar Banan. Even the rabbis will agree in this case. Why? Lashlim Shani. Here it's a little different. Because here, you're finishing the book and you're finishing the Begad. When did the rabbis argue under the Bili Ezer? That's only when you have one stitch there and you came and put another stitch next to it. Oh, so the Bili Ezer says, bottom line, now you made two stitches. It's viable. Or now there's two letters. Hakamim say, no, you're not Chayav. Bottom line, you only wrote one. But here, we actually finished the book. Then already could be the Hakamim will be more there, that such a Ketivah is Chayav. Last point, the Gemara Amar of Ami, Katab Otachat B'Tveria. Person, let's say, wrote one letter in Tiberias, V'achat B'Sipuri, and another letter he wrote in a different town called Sipuri, far away. Chayav. It's Chayav. The Gemara says, Ketivah. Yeah. Bottom line, he wrote two letters, Ela Shemehusar Kirevah. All it's missing is for you to put the two letters next to each other. The Gemara says, now obviously we're talking about a case where a person, let's say, wrote on two pieces of paper on the ends of the paper. He wrote an Aleph at the end of one paper and a Bet and Sipuri on the end of another paper. So all you have to do is really just put the two pages together and now you'll see Aleph Bet. All it's missing is Kedema, all it's missing is putting them together. So Gemara says, wait, Matenan, Katav Ashnei Kotlei Abayit. What do you mean? You just taught me in the Mishnah. If you wrote on two sides of the wall, in the same house, forget about Tiberi and Sipori. In the same house, you wrote on the east wall an Aleph, and the west wall, you wrote a Bet. V'Ashnei Dapir Pinkas, on two pages of the ledger, V'en Ne'egim Ze'im Ze'im. Since they cannot be read together, Patur. So what's the difference between Sipori and Tiberi? Tell me Hayav. Gemara says, Hatam mechusar ma'aseh dekirebah. There, you have to do a ma'aseh to put them together, meaning you have to knock down the wall in order to put them together to make them legible together. Haha, but here in the case of where you wrote them at the ends of the papers, even though they're in different cities, lo mechusar ma'aseh dekirebah. You don't have to do a ma'aseh. I mean, you don't have to rip the paper. The papers, they just have to put them together, and that's considered not making a ma'aseh. That he shouldn't even discuss if, let's say, you wrote it in the middle of the paper, and the way to get them together, you have to fold it. So right, is a machloket amongst the Rishonim, if folding would be considered a ma'aseh or not. And then even the Gemara concludes with one more point. Tana, Higiyah otahat. If a person, let's say, corrected one letter of the Sefer Torah on Shabbat, hayav. This Gemara says, what do you mean? Hashta katav otahat patur. Here you're telling me in the Mishnah, you wrote one letter, you patur. Higiyah otahat hayav. If you only corrected an existing letter, there you're going to be hayav. How could that be? Correcting would be worse than writing. If you wrote one letter, you patur. Correcting one letter, hayav. Amar Rav Sheshat, Hacha b'may askinan, Kegon shenatlo legago shel chet, Ve'asao shne zaynin. Talking about, well, let's say in the Sefer Torah you needed to have two zayins. And how was it written? A chet. So you went and you erased the roof of the chet. Now you ended up with two zayins. So therefore it's shayach to have a hagaha that actually creates two letters where you could be hayav. Baruch Adonai le'olam.